Welcome, Steeler Nation and Lockalites. I'm your host, Christopher Carter, and this is Locked On Steelers of the Locked On Podcast Network. This show brings you a daily dose of the Pittsburgh Steelers and NFL news. As the lead NFL analyst for DKPittsburghSports.com, I'm an experienced credentialed sports writer with years of covering the team from the training camp at La Trobe to the locker rooms of Heinz Field. You can find and subscribe to this show anywhere you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are hosted. Today, I'll be discussing the possibility of the Steelers playing in the Hall of Fame game, the extra preseason game that always associated with the Canton Hall of Fame, and why that could be really interesting for the Steelers' prospects of this offseason. We'll also get into what that could mean for the Steelers being on Hard Knocks, as that's a possibility with them missing two years of being in the playoffs, as well as the newest Antonio Brown fiasco that has sent social media going crazy. And we'll talk about what does Bill Cowher's induction to the Hall of Fame mean for the legacy of Mike Tomlin. Let's get into it. Okay, Lockalites, let's get into the top story of the day. We're here on a Tuesday. Normally that would be like, you know, press conference day, and we're talking about a lot of things. I'm recording this in the middle of the national championship games, so I'm not going to jump into those results. We could talk about those when we're getting into the draft more so. But the top story for the Steelers is definitely a report that kind of came out, or it was an interview that happened on Stan Saverin's show with Steeler Nation Radio yesterday here in Pittsburgh, where he interviewed Art Rooney II, and basically The bottom line was that Mr. Rooney believes that the Steelers will most likely be in the Canton Hall of Fame game. Now, you know, that sounds like, well, Chris, that's not big news. What are we talking about this for? Well, let's dive into this a little bit, because there's some of the politics of what's going to be transpiring over the next few weeks that I think makes this worthy of a top story talk with where we're at in the season right now. So this, of course, we're falling off of Bill Cowher being announced as one of the 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame class that will be getting in. Bill Cowher, you know, we talked about that on yesterday's episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and do that. We kind of went over some of the politics that played into that. But let's look at the current class, because that's kind of where Mr. Rooney was getting into with this. You have the prospect of Troy Polamalu being a first ballot Hall of Famer coming from the safety position, and considering that Brian Dawkins and Ed Reed were first ballot Hall of Famers, you got to think that Troy Polamalu will be. You still have Alan Faneca, who's been kind of waiting in the wings for several years now to try and get his shot. But offensive linemen are a tough get sometimes to get in the Hall of Fame, unless you were, you know, a supreme left tackle of some sort, or you had a big name on you. Alan Faneca is well recognized by the Steelers and by people who know football, but, you know, when it comes to the big names and everything, sometimes that can get lost in the waste. There's other guys like Tony Baselli who've been waiting around, so it's gonna be tough for him. But then you also have the Centennial class coming in, and the prospect of having Donnie Shell. There's a chance, an outside chance, but a chance that the Steelers get four guys in the Hall of Fame in one class. And so because of that, people are talking about the prospect of why not make Canton this year all about the Steelers and include them in the Hall of Fame game. So let's get into the things that Mr. Rooney said during Stan Saverin's radio show on Steeler Nation Radio. Mr. Rooney at one point said, "I think there is a pretty good chance," this is a direct quote, that we will be playing in the Hall of Fame game this year. It's not something the coaches and players love to see, having an extra preseason game, but I think it will be a fun weekend in Canton if things go the way they hope they go the next few days and weeks." So, bottom line there, Mr. Rooney thinks, you know, he's thinking that with the Steelers getting more guys going into the Hall of Fame, they'll get that extra game. And he's right. The coaches don't love to see that. Why? Because that means that their players got to be out there for another week. They're getting to practice a little bit earlier, but it makes the season a little bit longer. It's another game they got to worry about injuries. Don't forget, the last time the Steelers were in the Hall of Fame game, that was 2015 when they lost Sean Sweejum, and they had to go find Chris Boswell in the middle of the season. And that was a disaster to start off, because that led them to getting, Garrett Everett or Everett Garrett, I forget his name, but he was a kicker from the Saints. He got hurt himself. He had to go on IR. They landed eventually Josh Scobie, who was utterly horrible in the first few games, lost them the Baltimore Ravens game to start that year. And then eventually they lucked into Chris Boswell, and he's been the man for all but 1 year. So, but I'm sure there's a part of them that's like, man, like, you know, you don't want to deal with that, but it is kind of like an honor thing. And I think that they're kind of looking at that as a positive light. Now, Mr. Rooney went on to say, there's nothing firm yet. We have been given indications that we should be probably planning on it. It's not official yet, but I think it's more than likely. So basically the Rooneys are being told what's going on here. You know, I was talking with Tony last week on the show, if you were listening to that, which I know you were, you lock a light to you, but the possibility of the Rooneys kind of playing, you know, an ownership card or trying to push politics behind the scenes, you know, it would be interesting to see if the Steelers could avoid that. Just kind of looking further down, you know, I think this also speaks volumes to the idea that you could see the Steelers get a bunch of guys in this Hall of Fame class, which would be awesome for some of these guys. You know, Polamalu deserves to be a first ballot. Faneca deserves to be in there. But Donnie Shell, to me, is the biggest crime of not being in the Hall of Fame. And maybe at some point I'm going to do a full episode or at least a full segment talking about Donnie Shell and the greatness that he was for those of you guys who don't know enough about him. But, you know, long story short, Donnie Shell deserved to be in there years ago. But several people believe that there's too many Steelers from the 70s team in the Hall of Fame right now. So, but Rooney would go on to go on in this interview saying, you hear things that sound positive, and we've been hearing mostly positive things. I would like to think if Ed Reed got in on his first year of eligibility, Troy would follow suit. A lot of people are saying that. You never know. We are keeping our fingers crossed for Troy and Allen. I think Troy is a first ballot Hall of Famer, so we are praying and keeping our fingers and toes crossed here. So, I mean, basically, Mr. Rooney's saying the same things that we're kind of reading here, right? You know, the way that safeties have been getting inducted, the way that people are talking about it, and recognizing things that are going on there. I think he also went on to talk about Donnie Shell. He said, I do think that gets factored in when talking about people having to wait for so long. Voters decide there are enough Steelers in, and that has hurt Donnie Shell. That is why I am glad he has the chance to go in, to go into the centennial process this year. It is there. I am sure most voters would say it doesn't matter, but I do think it is there. People look at how many Steelers are going in. We are hoping for the best and hope that isn't a factor. That is, you know, a serious part of this, though, is that a lot of people, they think, oh man, you can't keep putting this one team in there despite how many great players keep coming from it, which will be interesting to see if that's the conversation when the Patriots crews are starting to get, you know, pushed into the Hall of Fame. You know, how many Patriots guys are going to be left out, and how many people are going to be upset with about that? So, so that's kind of what I wanted to focus on for the top story of the day. You know, a lot of guys kind of, you know, we'll be talking about, you know, the Steelers Hall of Fame chances and whether or not that's going to play into it, because the Steelers are also eligible for Hard Knocks, you know, the HBO show where the, you know, HBO's camera crews are going to be following them around. But I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing that Hard Knocks would be around this team. Yeah, sure, they don't want it. It's unwanted attention, and you don't want any distractions. But just after this break, I'm going to get into a little bit of why Hard Knocks could turn out to be a good thing for the Steelers. Okay, guys, so kind of continuing where I just left off at, let's talk about why Hard Knocks could end up working out for the Steelers. And it's because of the quick turnaround that we've seen here from this organization. And not necessarily one that happened, you know, what one that's, you know, a complete changing of how they work, but an imagery turnaround. And that's because if we're being honest here, it involves Antonio Brown, and we'll get into his newest stuff in a second here. But the whole thing with Hard Knocks is that people are afraid that it's going to expose things that no one wants to see. And at training camp with the Steelers, you kind of saw in Antonio Brown's last year, you started to see things unravel. You know, he came after Ed Bouchette, calling him a racist. There was that Jesse Washington writer who he threatened And you saw at training camp, you know, Dale Lally was telling me this while I was, you know, while I wasn't able to be there. But he said there was at one point Antonio Brown, you know, tweaked something and the Steelers said, hey, man, rest up. We know you're good. We don't need you, you know, running around here aggravating anything. So Antonio Brown did what a vet would normally do and just kind of stood around. Well, he didn't just stand around. He kept playing to the fans. Everywhere he went, there people were screaming, A.B., A.B., and he would go around and sign autographs and take pictures. But it became to the point where he was attracting so much attention from the crowds. It was a distraction for the team. And Antonio Brown was living off it. That's what he does. He loves that kind of stuff. So that became a problem for the team. And, you know, that was kind of the things that the Steelers were kind of trying to keep under wraps, with the things about Antonio Brown that no one was going to want to see, the fact that he lived off campus, though that's not a huge thing. Troy Polamalu did that as well, reportedly. But, you know, just the stuff that, you know, when Jesse James left the Steelers, he made a comment about how they've become the Kardashians. And you kind of, and you know, if this was 2 years ago, I think absolutely Hard Knocks would be a nightmare for what this team was going through. And then the specter of, is Le'Veon Bell showing up and then putting cameras in guys' faces and getting, you know, talks like that, that could have been a problem. But that's not these Steelers anymore. You know, they don't have guys holding out right now. They don't have a guy that's kind of a loose cannon. And not kind of a loose cannon, is a loose cannon. And that's attracting all this attention and maybe this problem child. Their locker room, after this past season especially, seems very sound, very together, very ready to take on and say the right things. You know, it used to be with James Harrison, Antonio Brown, a lot of guys in the locker room, they wouldn't talk to the media during the practice weeks until Friday. And it was kind of like, you know, setting an interesting tone there. Not a good interesting tone, and interesting as I'm like, that's how they're operating type of tone. And that's stopped. They've tried to counteract that. They want to counter that image that's been made of them. So I think putting Hard Knocks, you know, cameras there, and I'm not saying the Steelers should just go out and say, hey, choose us, please put us on Hard Knocks. No. But I'm saying this could end up working out for the Steelers if they can be together and avoid those tough moments where you'll have those embarrassing moments. Now, also, the Steelers are a much better run organization. You're not going to see, at least I don't think you'll see, the moments like you saw with Hugh Jackson for the Browns chastising his coordinators, and you saw the obvious rifts between him and Todd Haley, and Hugh Jackson say, this is my program. When you head coach a team, you can do it how you want to do it. And you see the divisions, and then you see Jarvis Landry yelling at the other Browns players, oh, we got to do better than this, guys. You know, this is not the standard that I, you know, and whatever. You don't, you know, the hope is that the Steelers don't see it. You see the unity, you see the tradition, you see the leadership. You know, Ben Roethlisberger working with the younger QBs, working with the young wide receivers working with each other. You see the running backs trying to work together, the veteran linemen kind of, you know, working on that. You're also seeing that defense, the young guys, Devin Bush, Minkah Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, the young trio of superstars that this team is going to try to rely on, the leaderships of Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Joe Hayden. I think that you show that there, and sort of the brotherhood that comes with those kind of relationships, that could be something that doesn't necessarily work against people, work against the Steelers and Hard Knocks. Now, no team has been on Hard Knocks and gone on to win the Super Bowl, because usually Hard Knocks is interviewing bad teams or teams that haven't made the playoffs. So it's not to say it would, that's something that people look at like, well, that's just a bad sign. But I think there's a chance that with the chemistry the Steelers have right now, and I'm telling you, I've been around the team. I was at Latrobe almost every day for training camp this past summer. I was at Heinz Field all the time, and, you know, I'm always talking to Dale Lally and Hunter Homestack and our guys that are from DKPittsburghSports.com that are there, Dejan Kovacevic included, and this isn't that kind of a team. And really, honestly, the team with Antonio Brown wasn't that bad of a team. It was just, Antonio was just kind of crazy, and we're going to use that to dip into. Unfortunately, I know we're not, you know, people are tired of talking about Antonio Brown, but it's technically still Steelers news because of his history with the team. He still is, you know, a playing legend as far as, you know, how the feats he accomplished on the field. But there was another Antonio Brown thing, unfortunately. And this stems back to another incident at his home where the mother of his children looked like she was trying to retrieve his children from him. And that kind of led to some issues there where he once again, does this himself. It's not anyone filming him. He films himself, you know, from the first person, yelling and arguing with the police officers and calling them cuss words and slurs and just acting belligerently with them. And in all around, just you kind of see the unraveling of Antonio Brown and the things that he's doing there. And it's disturbing. And his children are being taken in the police car because, you know, the police are coming there because, you know, the woman has custody rights. And, you know, presumably that was what that was about. And you see Antonio Brown yelling about, you know, his Bentley and his car out front and how the woman has his key. And it was just it's so disturbing to see this guy's fall from grace. I mean, this guy could have been the prince to Pittsburgh. He could have just lived. He could have pulled, been like, you know, and never have to talk. All he would do is show up, smile, shake hands, and he would make money, you know, just by showing up in Pittsburgh for the rest of his life. And he's thrown that away. And you know, we could talk about CTE playing into it. And some people are like, oh, this is what he deserves because he's just that narcissistic. He's just that crazy. Yeah, I'm kind of past that. I'm kind of like, you know what? Unfortunately, Antonio Brown is off the deep end right now. I think he's been that way for at least a couple years. And if that's from the hit, that's from the hit. If it's from his narcissism and being addicted to social media, that, you know, either way, I don't think anyone can stop that man at this point in time because he's still a millionaire. I think he's gonna. It's not looking good for how he spent, for how he's acting, and you know the erratic things that he's doing, and you know that usually ends in bad life stories. If someone doesn't step up and help him fix his life or turn his life around. But I think the real concern is his family. I mean, these are his kids that he's acting like this in front of. And it's embarrassing. It's scary too, because you know, how many times have we seen people, you know, show these types of erratic moments and then something bad happens. You know, these are the type of things that you're like, man, you know, I wish we would have seen the signs that this something bad was going to happen, and these people who were innocent, especially these children who were innocent, got hurt. And these seem like all the signs. So this isn't about a plea for sympathy to get for Antonio Brown. This is it's the same thing I've been saying for over a year now. I'm concerned for the people around him, and namely the innocent people, the people that didn't choose to be around him. They're around him because they're his children or because they have to deal with him. And what may happen if this continues to spiral out of control. That's definitely a concern, right now as Antonio Brown. But again, you know, you don't have that with the Steelers team. And also, I mean, you got to think about how much were the Steelers containing this for years? You have to wonder. Antonio Brown, Ryan Clark insinuated that, you know, that Antonio Brown's, he's always thought that something bad was going to happen to him, or that he was going to, you know, go down this type of path. And whether or not he actually saw those things, you know, those things have come to pass. But you have to wonder how good of a coaching job, how good of an organization are they to keep something like that under wraps for years? I mean, Antonio Brown, I mean, you might have known that he wasn't, you know, the sharpest pencil in the box, you know, but you know, he's you at least knew that he was great at football, and he stayed out of trouble, and he wasn't on the news all the time. And the only things you ever heard of him was Antonio Brown breaking another record. I mean, he was showing up on commercials, and he wasn't saying these ridiculous things. He has spiraled out of control. And you know, and I think people still might associate some of that with the Steelers. I mean, not us as people that follow the Steelers closely, but you know, there might be people out there that still think like maybe the Steelers they're the environment that created Antonio Brown, and a feature like Hard Knocks in Latrobe during training camp as they go through all these things maybe would be the perfect medicine to show the rest of the world, no, this isn't what, that's not what the Steelers are about. This is what the Steelers are about. They're the same Steelers that have been operating as the class of the NFL for the past 40, 50 years. All right, so one more break, and we'll keep going with one more talking point that I think you guys want to get into. All right, everyone, to get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at a less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with the daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, they'll give your money right back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon right now. Don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONFL to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONFL. echelonfit.com/LONFL. So, I mean, I guess we're going to keep rolling with the Hall of Fame theme here and the Steelers and who they are. But I wanted to take this last segment to talk about something that I think ties into Cowher's talk and something that Dale Lally wrote for our website at dkpittsburghsports.com. And he wrote rather quickly, after the whole Cowher announcement was made. And it was a point that, I think that crossed my mind and probably crossed yours. But the point that if Bill Cowher, who was a very good coach and one of the best of his time in the NFL and someone who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, if he got into the Hall of Fame, does that mean that Mike Tomlin's going to get into the Hall of Fame? And Dale Lally's conclusion is most likely, highly likely. And I actually agree with him. Now, those who know me know I'm a big Tomlin guy. I'm big, coaches that keep stability on a team and help teams get to at least a position where they can win most of their games and be in playoff contention year in and year out. I am pro that type of coach. A guy that's a proven winner and a guy that has the integrity to keep an organization together even amidst tough times. I look at Mike Tomlin and the resume he's put together. When you compare it to Cowher's, there's a lot of similarities. He has a higher winning percentage than Cowher. Cowher has won more playoff games than Tomlin, but you look at, they have the same Super Bowl record. And the Steelers haven't been favored in as many home playoff games that Cowher lost. So people are obviously look at that. But you look at the fact that Mike Tomlin still has yet to have a losing season, and the narrative that I heard the entirety of the past decade or so, when people say, well, Mike Tomlin still hasn't had a losing season, and people that are detractors of Mike Tomlin, their argument was, well, if Ben Roethlisberger was gone, you'd see him have a losing season. And ladies and gentlemen, in 2019, not only was Ben Roethlisberger gone, but they didn't have a Charlie Batch. They didn't have a Byron Leftwich. They didn't even have a Mike Tomczak. They had Mason Rudolph, who eventually got benched in favor of Devlin Hodges. And Devlin Hodges is, and I always thought that Kent Graham would be the worst quarterback I ever saw in a Steelers uniform. And I think Devlin Hodges passed him. And that's how bad that was. And if you remember Kent Graham of the early 2000s, the late 90s with the Steelers, he came in and he would replace Cordell Stewart. And Cordell struggled with his plays. He was trying to be molded into a pocket passer when he was really, a lot like Lamar Jackson. You wanted him to use his legs and create and throw on the run. But Kent Graham, he was just a statue that didn't move, didn't make reads, didn't make throws. He was horrible. He was abysmal. He made Cordell look just amazing at times. But Devlin Hodges was that guy. And Tomlin found a way to win, four games with Devlin Hodges in? And I think that's half their wins this season. I think that's remarkable. And the fact that Mason Rudolph, who, played at one point so bad that he had to get benched in favor of Devlin Hodges, I think that's remarkable that the other four wins came from him. So, when people would bring up that Mike Tomlin, he's not, he can't be a Hall of Famer. He's only there because of Ben Roethlisberger. Well, they were one game away from really having a shot at making the playoffs. So I look at this and I see Mike Tomlin. I mean, you look at his resume. It's it's there. Now he could fall off. He could tank. Ben Roethlisberger's return could be not as happy as everyone thinks it is, and the team falls off. But I mean, come on. You think that the team is going to just disappear? He's built a very good defense, to great defense, with a lot of young talent. I don't see that turning around just falling off the face of the earth. And I think part of what to me, I'm not saying to all the voters out there, but to me, what makes great coaches is when you come in and you do well with the situation you're given, because it's not your fault when you're handed something, but it is a credit to you when you win with what you're given. And that's what Mike Tomlin did. That's what John Gruden did for Tony Dungy's team. That's what Cowher did. You know, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he was competitive with Chuck Knoll's guys. A lot of people say, oh, well, he built that first defense. Well, Rod Woodson was drafted by Chuck Knoll. Carnell Lake was drafted by Chuck Knoll. Lavon Kirkland, Greg Lloyd, Damani Dawson. You know, there were a lot of pieces, huge pieces, that Cowher inherited from the Knoll era, and it led to the unit that he put together in the early to mid 90s that carried him until 1998, when they fell off. And it was when those guys started disappearing, when they didn't have Rod Woodson, when Damani Dawson did get old, when you saw those guys start to fall off and they couldn't rely on Greg Lloyd anymore, you saw the team needed to rebuild. And that's natural. That happens. Look at the Saints. They went 7-9 for 3 straight years. Now, granted, Sean Payton has not capitalized on these past 3 years with the playoffs, but they've made the playoffs 3 straight years, and each year they've been a favorite. But it's so hard to win in the playoffs in the NFL. I can't express that enough with where the league is going. You see how this is. The Ravens dominated for an entire season. What happened? Gone. The Patriots, even the Patriots this year, they were supposedly having the greatest defense of all time. They had everything lined up. Stephon Gilmore was the defensive MVP. Tom Brady was still had a good ratio for throwing the ball. He wasn't doing too great, but he was doing enough to win. And then you saw a team started to catch up, and they're knocked out. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs last year were like that. Everyone thought, man, this is the year. They're going to knock off the Patriots. Nope, that didn't happen. The smallest thing can happen. And right now, the Chiefs, they are by far the favorites over these Tennessee Titans. But don't get it twisted to think that the Tennessee Titans stand no chance in this game. Football is insanely unpredictable at times. It is one of the hardest sports to bet when you're looking at the playoffs and you're seeing, man, there's this, man, there's that, and what teams might prove each other wrong, and how matchups play into certain factors, and who steps up and who doesn't. But when it comes to winning the playoffs, yeah, it's like, you know, Bill Cowher, at the time, he consistently put together strong teams, and when he had to rebuild, he had to rebuild. Like I brought up yesterday, he came out in 2001, had a strong team, and that was the team that pushed at the time, and they needed to just really add a quarterback and get a few more pieces for the defense. They did over the next few years, and then wham bam, 2004 they were 15-1. 2005 they won a Super Bowl, and Mike Tomlin had to retool it a bit himself. And then 2008, they won another Super Bowl. But again, you know, you saw that era of the Steelers in the late 2000s. Eventually, they fizzled out. They, you know, guys get old. They, groups age out. It happens. Chuck Knoll went through that after his 70s Steelers aged out. I think he only made the playoffs, what, one time in the 80s? I'm trying to remember all the years. I think he only won like a couple playoff games in the 80s. I think that was it. But, you know, the 80s were abysmal, especially the early 80s, because the Steelers didn't have great draft picks lined up. They had to kind of skim off the bottom of the draft because they were so great, and that led to problems, and that's just part of a turnaround. It happens in pro football, and that's sort of what the Steelers have gone through twice. So I'm saying all that to say, again, great coaches, they turn teams around. They find ways to rebuild teams and keep them focused and point them in the right direction to put them in the position to win football games. Chuck Knoll always said he doesn't deserve the credit. The players deserve the credit for winning the game on the field, because he knew his job was to put them in position to win, but it's up to them to win. And I think Mike Tomlin does that consistently. I think it's why the Giants are in the position they are. Tom Coughlin, I'm not a fan of Coughlin and some of the things that he does and some of the things that he says, but he knows how to point a team in the right direction. And how many times did his Giants look like, oh man, maybe Tom Coughlin should be fired? And then all of a sudden, whoop, he'd get a Super Bowl run, and they'd be in the position to at least challenge teams for a few years, and then he'd need to rebuild. And you know, he did that once when they won in 2007, did it again when they beat the Patriots again in 2012. And it really looked like a couple years later when they did end up firing him, that's what they were getting ready to do. He was like, he was going to get ready to turn it around. And then they got rid of him, and then they made a coaching hire, and then they hired Pat Shurmur. And now the Giants are a joke. And they're a dumpster fire, and they may have some great young talent with Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, and you know, you're looking excited to see where they could go, but they fell off the face of the earth, and that's what getting rid of a good coach will do to you. The Eagles lucked out by getting Doug Peterson, but when they got rid of Andy Reid, you know, Chip Kelly was hot for a second, but you saw how bad the Eagles got for a few years, and they did get into a Carson Wentz situation, but Wentz, he's unfortunately been hurt. And they've been able to win with Doug Peterson, but how many teams jettison a great coach, a coach that helped them win a Super Bowl, a coach that knows how to make you a consistent winner, and then found a lot of success after that? It's not easy to do. So for a lot of people out there that say Mike Tomlin shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, Bill Cowher being in the Hall of Fame, I think furthers the argument that Mike Tomlin will be in the Hall of Fame. And think about that. That means the Steelers, if this comes to pass, would have had Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin in three consecutive coaches being in the Hall of Fame. That is just wild to think about, and another testament to how the Rooneys run their organization. But that's been the show. Thanks for listening here at Locked On Steelers. Again, check us out at LO Steelers on Twitter. You can follow my personal account at Carter Critiques, where I'm always dropping X's and O's and talking up stuff with you guys. Follow me. I will follow you back. Hit with a DM. Hit with an at. Always down to interact with you guys. Thanks so much out to the Lockalites out there for being loyal followers. If you're not part of the Facebook group right now, go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You'll join all of our fans of Locked On Steelers. Tune back in tomorrow. I'll be cutting up some more daily Steelers news.